President Trump and Joe Biden are putting miles on the odometer in the Midwest today as the 2020 campaign races toward the finish line. Both will hold events in Wisconsin and Minnesota. Trump will go on to Michigan, Biden to Iowa. And while the upper Midwest may hold the key to the White House, the race also depends on working class voters in Pennsylvania. President Trump seems to know that. He has five rallies scheduled in that state before Election Day. Robert Costa is national political reporter at the Washington Post. And Robert, here we are heading into the final weekend of the 2020 campaign. What's the state of the race?
It all comes down to Pennsylvania, based on my reporting, my conversations with voters, but also with strategists in both parties, because this is the key battleground in the industrial Midwest, also partly in the Mid-Atlantic. And this is the kind of place Vice President Biden needs to do well in, and he's paying a lot of attention to it. This is a narrow race in some of these key states, even though Vice President Biden is leading nationally pretty easily.
Well, do you see President Trump showing any signs of turning it around in the final days as he did in 2016?
There's a lot of enthusiasm on the Trump side. The question is, does that enthusiasm counter the erosion Trump's facing in the suburbs and in the cities? Democrats are not going to be caught flat-footed like they were in 2016 in places like Philadelphia or Milwaukee. And you see suburban women, based on my reporting in the polls, turning away from the president because of the pandemic. The pandemic remains the burden on the president's shoulders politically, even though he has a lot of energy on his side.
Well, 4 years ago, you took a road trip across your home state of Pennsylvania. That was in the final week of the campaign as well. And you ended up writing a front page story in the Washington Post, which essentially foreshadowed the Trump victory to come in the state that year. And I know this year you checked back in with some of those people. Here's some tape from Elizabeth Parker, who didn't vote in 2016 because she thought Clinton was a shoo-in.
I'm a hospice nurse, and I think the saddest part of this pandemic is that it hasn't been controlled and it's been let loose.
Do you blame President Trump?
I blame the rhetoric that is used right now. It's almost cult-like, the way his supporters are acting.
So there you go. Just as you said, people thinking a lot about the pandemic in this election. How would you compare what you heard this year to 2016?
When I went across in 2016, took a 350-mile road trip, it was evident that there was an appetite for what I called radical change, for someone to really shake up the system. Even if they didn't like President Trump's character in Western and Central Pennsylvania, there was an eagerness for change. 4 years later, many of those voters in Western and Central Pennsylvania still like President Trump. And in Northeastern Pennsylvania, they like him on trade. But you're seeing suburban voters, mostly white liberal suburban voters, moderate Republicans, say they've had enough, whether it's the president's character, his handling of the pandemic. And you also see black voters, as a racial reckoning happens in this country, focused on reprimanding President Trump politically. They see him as someone who stokes the fires on race, and they would like to see him gone.
So what does Pennsylvania come down to this year? I mean, which of these candidates is making a better pitch to the voters of Pennsylvania?
It comes down to the protectionist Union Democrat in Pennsylvania, who lives maybe in Aliquippa, where I start my journey on tonight's special, or in Scranton, Pennsylvania, home to anti-abortion Democrats like the late Bob Casey Sr., the governor, and Bob Casey Jr., the current senator. They may have drifted, been tempted by the siren song of protectionism and nationalism and populism by President Trump in 2016. 4 years later, they may still agree with President Trump on trade, but is the avalanche of other issues and controversies enough to sweep them toward Biden? And that's the voter I'm watching. That's the voter who seemed most undecided at this 11th hour.
Can you tell if any of them are coming back to the Democrats?
I think the Democrats' whole gamble going back to earlier this year with Biden was that he could win that kind of voter over. Middle class Joe, that was his reputation in Delaware. He's always touted his roots in Northeastern Pennsylvania. And that is the whole election. It comes down to those voters. The suburban voters are going to give Biden a boost. Black voters, white liberals in the cities are going to give Biden a boost. But can he actually swing the Union Democrat back?
What's the likelihood that we see a legal battle over ballot counting or some other issue in Pennsylvania in the days after the election?
Undoubtedly, it's going to happen. The Supreme Court recently ruled that a Pennsylvania state Supreme Court ruling can stand. In short, it's going to allow ballots to be counted up to 3 days after the election. And that is to improve access to the ballot amid a pandemic. Democrats feel good about that. But the challenge for Democrats is the vote day count, election day count, may be better for President Trump. So they're going to preach patience, and they have the courts on their side, but it'll be a battle royale, no doubt about it. And you could see issues rise up about voter suppression or voting rights. Who knows how this plays out, but it's already being fought in the courts. That means to me as a reporter, it's almost certainly going to be fought next week and beyond.
Yeah, we'll see. And you'll be there to watch it. Robert Costa, national political reporter at the Washington Post, moderator and managing editor of Washington Week. His special report, Revisiting the Pennsylvania Voters He Spoke With Back in 2016, airs tonight on PBS. Robert, enjoy the home stretch. Thanks for your time.
Thank you.